And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, it looks to me like the momentum is shifting in Pennsylvania, and the momentum may be shifting in other parts of the country as well. Up until now, all I've been hearing and reading about is how the Democrats are doomed to lose. And now I see that the doom is not imminent.
Yeah. I mean, doom and gloom has seen a new dawn.
Doom and gloom has actually sailed off into the sunset. It may come back, but at the moment it's sailing away for Democrats.
Yeah, and it seems to be emerging with the Republicans in a number of states with their candidates, but particularly in Pennsylvania, where the Democrats were hoping it would go. It seems to be headed that way. There, if you remember, the polling the last time had Shapiro up with, but only within the margin of error over Mastriano, and Fetterman up over Oz, but not by a great amount. And now there's some polls that have both of them up by double digits. There seemed the strategy, which has been much criticized by party activists, that where the Democrats were actually hoping and trying to help get the most extreme candidates to run against them, seems to have been working in Pennsylvania and elsewhere. Mastriano's numbers have slipped into the 30s. Shapiro is actually in some polls at or slightly above 50%. Fetterman is almost at 50%, and Oz is floundering. In addition,
Oz is in the 30s, right?
Well, yeah. Also, and they're fundraising. Oz has been criticized for not really being out there and not having any great fundraising events. The same thing has been happening in Ohio with J.D. Vance, but in Pennsylvania again, Mastriano's been put on the defensive. His association with that group out of Lackawanna County called GAB and Andrew Torba has really, really raised a firestorm. Even the Republican Jewish Coalition has told him that he needs to disassociate himself there. They haven't said they won't back him, but they've indicated their displeasure. And late in the week, he seemed to try to help the situation for himself by saying that he doesn't endorse what Torba is saying, but the fact of the matter is he's given him $5,000 and taken all the links to these groups that GAB affords him. So,
well, if he doesn't endorse all the things that Torba is saying, which are the things that he does endorse? That'd be good to know.
That would be good to know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the CPAC people, the Conservative Political Action people.
Right.
They're all Americans. Meanwhile, they invited Viktor Orban, the Prime Minister of Hungary, to speak to them in Texas next month, right? Orban just got done delivering a speech that his own chief advisor said was straight out of the Nazi Goebbels' repertoire. And he quit.
Right. He stuck with Orban all this time, but at least he, there was a breaking point. With the Republicans, there doesn't seem to be a breaking point.
There's no breaking point.
But what Orban said was that countries that have multi-ethnic groups are bad. That you've got to be pure, in essence.
Yeah.
This purity. And My wife keeps pointing out in UK, Boris Johnson, his party finally had enough of him, and 55 of his ministers and other officials quit to force him out. But you don't see that among Republicans in with regard to Donald Trump or Trumpism or some of the more extreme things. But as we started this program with, at least whatever is left of the more moderates and independents seem to be breaking now against the Republicans. They seem to feel that they've had enough of this. In Missouri, Eric Greitens, the guy who was shooting up places, hunting for rhinos, Republicans in name only, has dropped to third in the polls. We still have some elections to see what happens in Arizona with Blake Masters. But as the extremists keep going to the extreme, and I think that's what's happened is the abortion issue itself, they've gone to such extremes that they've turned off a lot of people. When you have 10-year-old girls who are raped and become pregnant and can't get an abortion, people take note of that.
And their response to it, these people, is to deny that it happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then when it becomes clear that it did happen, they don't know what to say. Except they say, well, that wasn't really an abortion.
Yeah.
it's preposterous.
Yes. Alternate facts doesn't even begin to describe what they've been saying. So we've had that, in Pennsylvania, but we've also had a lot of things on the national stage where all of a sudden, the Democrats were criticized, and rightly so to some extent, about not being able to pass their agenda. Even though they had a razor-thin margin, and they had in the Senate, they had two reluctant senators to go along with things, and lo and behold, things have started to break. There was a bill passed on helping the bring chip manufacturing back to the United States. Most of it has been done in Taiwan, and because of the supply shortages, it has a severe impact on our whole economy. You couldn't buy automobiles because they couldn't finish them off. You couldn't buy appliances. I know we went looking a few months ago for some appliances, a microwave oven, and you couldn't get it. You had to hope that it was in stock at some warehouse somewhere, and you couldn't get the color we wanted, things like that. And now there's a it looks like there's a bipartisan bill there. And then Manchin came out this week and again backtracked, and now it looks like he's going to go for some form of the Build Back Better bill that's going to include things for the climate, the most sweeping climate pro-climate program perhaps ever, even though it's far less than what some people want. And also to negotiate drug prices, which are big things. Donald Trump promised to do that and never did any of that. That could be another big win for Biden. And also Manchin came out and said that he wants to do away with this preposterous idea on the tax. He won't go for tax increases, but he wants to cut away the tax breaks for these hedge fund billionaires, where they're allowed to call short-term profits carried interest and taxed at long-term rates rather than as pure income rates, as current income rates. And that would be a big deal. That would also cut the deficit. It's not going to make Wall Street happy.
I know that Manchin has made a deal with Schumer, but on this particular issue, where is Sinema?
We don't know.
Her vote is also needed.
her vote is also needed unless there's somebody in the Republican Party that's going to vote for it. I don't know if there's going to be anybody that's going to do that.
Republicans? Not one Republican will vote for this. Not one. They've already announced it. And they don't even oppose it on the basis that they don't like the policy. They oppose it on the basis that they don't like that they made a deal.
Yeah. And they went so far this week as getting so upset that Schumer and Manchin were able to cut a deal that's good for America, good for the American people, that they then turned around and voted against something to give relief to veterans who are suffering from exposure to these fire pits. Now, how in the heck...
3.5 million of them. 3.5 million of them.
This was the cause that was championed by John Stewart.
Right.
And he really laid it into Congress, and they finally got the bill. And how did the Republicans go to veterans and say, we're for you, when they won't support a bill like this? Not because they think the bill is bad. They just are mad about another bill.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
It's not even tit for tat. It's tit for nothing.
Well, I mean, these are people who don't want to govern. They want power.
That's it.
Therefore, when they have a chance to govern, they don't do it.
They've become, and it's become more and more evident over the years, that it's not about policy.
No, it's not. It is about policy, because they if it weren't about policy, one or another of them would split and vote with the Democrats, right?
Well, you'd think so. You'd think so. And it's interesting that the lead person on mouthing off about this about the veterans was Susan Collins. the moderate.
Really?
Yeah. Remember, you remember what I've called her over the years. She's a moderate of convenience.
Yeah.
Only when it doesn't count. Is she there? Although you have to think about when you look about this bill to help the microchip industry, isn't that socialism? Isn't that government socialism? Where's the free market?
It isn't. It's actually fascism, because you don't have government ownership. You don't even have the government, which is going to put up all the money, getting some stake in the final product. You have just tax subsidies given to existing billionaire companies to develop something without risk, because the government is taking the risk. That's how fascism works. That's the difference. If socialism, the government would own it, and the benefit would go to the general tax fund. That's not happening here. This is just a subsidy to giant companies who are making hand over fist profits. None of these companies are poor. But what this does do is it takes the risk away from this development.
Yeah. And by the way, you think that these companies would want to get out of the exclusivity of Taiwan, given what the Chinese have been threatening more and more over the years.
They may want to, but you know how expensive it is to build the kind of factories they're talking about? And you know how long it takes? And in America, you have an additional problem. There's no place in America that has the workforce suitable to work in these factories. They have to be created. You need a whole group of professional PhD engineers to man these factories, and we don't turn them out. We turn out, if you add up all of the PhDs in every kind of field of study, we turn out 12,000 PhDs a year. The Chinese turn out 77,000 PhDs a year, most of them in engineering. Now, where are you going to find the workforce? It'll take a couple of years to build the plants anyway, if you can find a place to build it, and they'll go through the bureaucracy, they'll get the money, but where will they get the workers to run it? This is not a done deal just because the Congress passed the law and the president is going to sign it. You still got to figure out a way to spend the money, which they don't yet have.
Well, but they better get on it.
They got to get on it, but you know where you got to get on it? In the schools. This is an education problem. This is a skilled worker problem.
Well, there's another solution, and that's immigration. allowing people who have the skills into the country.
But then you can't build the wall.
Well,
I mean, let's face it.
Details. They didn't build the wall anyway. He hasn't built the wall anyway. I did see a statistic that they've got, they've let in 100,000 Ukrainians. And there are a lot of engineers that have just taken off from Russia. Not nearly in great numbers, but there's some floating out there. And one would think that that there are some Taiwanese who don't want to take the chance. You know, also, with regard to Taiwan, I think we ought to watch, see what happens. Nancy Pelosi said she's going to go there, and the Chinese went ballistic.
United States State Department isn't terribly happy either.
No. But we'll see what happens.
I mean, it strikes
happens.
Me that the Congress should not make the foreign policy of the country. It strikes me that that's why you elect a president and he structures an administration. If you don't like the foreign policy, get involved, get another president. But if every congressman or if every person with authority in Congress makes his or her own foreign policy, there's no foreign policy. And you're going to get into a lot of trouble because from the viewpoint of the countries who are not the Americans, Nancy Pelosi represents the American government.
Yeah. On the other hand, should she be subject to a Chinese veto over where she goes?
She should be subject to common sense. She should think about whether or not she really wants to provoke worsening relations with China over the issue of Taiwan. All American politicians ought to think about that. Because the trend is to a war with China over the issue of Taiwan. And in that war, the United States is going to have almost no allies and will not win, according to the war games of the Pentagon, the American Pentagon, which has war gamed this thing for four times over the last 6 years. And each one of the games concluded the Chinese win. Enormous losses, but more for the Americans. This is not the right policy. Whether you should be fighting with the Chinese is one question. I don't think you should be. I don't understand why they are the strategic enemy. I don't believe that they are, and I don't believe that the Biden or the Trump administration has made the case. But even if they were the strategic enemy, you don't necessarily go to war with your enemies. And a war in Europe and in Asia has always been a bad thing for the United States.
That's the great line from The Princess Bride, you know, never get involved in a land war with Asia. But on the other hand, this wouldn't be a land war. This is going to be a naval war. And the Chinese, I know, have been building up their naval strength.
Let's not get involved with what kind of war it is. Let's get involved with trying to stop a war. The war would be terrible. The war would involve many countries. And if the United States does what it always does, and it starts bombing China, the United States will be bombed.
Yeah.
Now, that's not something we should contemplate with a sanguine attitude. That's a horror. That you have to stop. If you don't want to have to happen in California or in New York or in Indiana, what's happening in Ukraine? And it could.
No.
And it could. They have the weapons to do just exactly that. So. Don't get involved.
Now, we got into this about American politics and politicians. We've had some issues this week on third parties with American politicians. And Andrew Yang,
Chrissy Whitman,
Chrissy Todd Whitman, and I think it's Dave Jolly, former
Republican congressman.
Yeah. This just seems to be, something that's periodically recurred in American history, having these third parties, but they don't, they've only had success where they've been able to take over from a weakening a second party. And also, it seems to me that they've only had success where they've had a more or less of a charismatic leader holding them, because we've had this phenomenon in recent years of more and more people identifying as independents and both parties losing identification. The problem, of course, is that there is no cohesive independent party. The reason people become independents are diverse, and they don't seem to center around anything other than displeasure with the two parties. But you have some conservative Republicans, businessmen on one hand, and you have disaffected progressives and liberals on the other hand, and their only cohesive points are that they don't want to be in one party or the other. But the history of third parties is limited. I mean, the last third party that had any electoral success, and don't forget, in Congress, there's nobody. There, how many independents are there in Congress? There's two in the Senate, who both
Angus King and Bernie King, Bernie Sanders,
who you know, they caucus with the Democrats.
They're functionally Democrats, right?
And in the House, I think there used to be one who was waiting, who lost in the last election or wasn't running again in the last election, left the Republican Party. But there's no independent caucus in their House.
No.
So there's nothing really to rally around. We had Ross Perot in 92 with the Reform Party. And once he was off the ticket, they didn't do much. Before that, we had George Wallace, who captured a number of votes, electoral votes in the South.
His movement became the Republican Party.
Yeah. That was, what's his name's book? The Emerging Republican Majority? That Richard Nixon used
Adopted that strategy and turned the Republican Party, got the Dixiecrats out of the Democratic Party and made them the base, and now the Republican Party is that.
And before that, you had Strom Thurmond with the Dixiecrats, who won some votes but didn't stop Harry Truman from getting elected president. And
the message that you're showing is that the third party movement, when it's successful, succeeds by not by winning, it loses, but its themes, its politics get taken over by one of the other parties.
Right. I mean, in the early part of the century, I mean, you had Teddy Roosevelt and the Bull Moose, but you had Bob Laffalette with the Progressive Party. Most of those things went to the Democratic Party.
Well, the Farmer Labor Party is called now the Democratic Farmer Labor Party.
Yeah, in Minnesota.
In Minnesota, particularly.
It's interesting, even these third parties in New York State, they used to have the liberal line and the conservative party line. And is there anything left of that in New York?
The liberal party disappeared. The conservatives still exist. But the point about New York is New York has what's called fusion voting. We don't have that in Pennsylvania.
You're right.
You can have a party in New York that will, and this is how it started, really. Leftists and liberals in New York State did not want to vote for the Dixiecrats, but they did want to vote for Franklin Roosevelt. They would not vote for him on the Democratic Party line. A coalition of unions formed what was called the American Labor Party at the time for Roosevelt's second election, and nominated Roosevelt as their candidate, which is legal in New York. So you could vote for Roosevelt either on the Democratic line, or you could have voted for him on the American Labor line. And the American Labor line at that time, I think he got about 1 million votes, something like that. That's not the same thing as what Andrew Yang is talking about. He's talking about an alternative to the Democrats, not a separate way to vote for the Democrats. That's not going to work. That's not going to work.
You just hope it doesn't siphon off enough votes like the Green Party has done, which has also been a failure in terms of electing.
He's not going to siphon off any votes, because what would you vote for? What's he for? The whole point is that there's no real difference that common sense people can't get together and solve. But that's not true. That's not what politics is about. Politics exists because there is a difference, because there is a different position, because there are different interests being served and different policies which serve different sections of the population. And politics is a way to either one side wins and the other side loses, or it's a way of coming and forging some sort of compromise based on the strength of the various differences. To say there's no difference is to deny politics, and that's to deny reality. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, my favorite third party, though, it still is that the rent is too damn high party.
Yes, exactly. Right.
At least he has a cohesive platform.
He had a real platform, and he got a lot of votes, that guy, by the way.
Yeah, he won't be too big in Alabama, but...
Well, wherever there are renters, the rent is too damn high. There's no doubt about that. I mean, let's face it, wherever there's renters, there's people who can't afford to pay the rent.
Well, yeah.
After all, there's people who can't afford to buy houses. There's a real estate crisis right now.
Well, Donald Trump had a solution to that. I mean, he said, we just got to build a lot of fancy tents outside the edges of American cities. Because then again this week, when he got questioned, he said that we're still not sure what happened on 9/11. So,
really? Is that true?
Yeah.
That was rigged as well?
Well, he said there's still unresolved issues with regard to that. I don't have his exact quote, but it's... it was along those lines. He was trying to avoid some other things, but
in other words, it's really true that George Bush planted dynamite around the pillars of the World Trade Center.
Well, or what have you, you know?
Yeah.
Osama bin Laden didn't really have a manifesto and intent. You know, coming from Trump though, in his history, it doesn't matter, his followers are big into conspiracies. They're big into conspiracies.
Well, I mean, there are conspiracies in this world, but that's not one of them.
Yeah. No.
Well, isn't Trump involved in a conspiracy to overthrow the Constitution? Seems to
me he is. And that's something else that seems to be gathering momentum. It looks more and more like the Justice Department is gathering things. Although what one hears is that there's so much there. Between the January 6th insurrectionists and what's come out by the committee, which, by the way, is still taking interviews, that the Justice Department doesn't even have the resources. They don't have the manpower. I do know that our Congressman, Matt Cartwright, who heads the subcommittee that funds the Justice Department, has indicated that he wants them to have as much money as they need. He will do whatever he can to get them the funding, but he still to get enough people, and people with the right experience is turning into a problem because there's just so much there, and you know that's been one of the Trump strategies is flood and Bannon strategies, flood the zone, throw so much out there that you can't concentrate on one thing.
Well, who knows? We've flooded the zone. We've thrown a lot out there so far, and we've come to the end of the hour. Of our time.
Yes.
So that's it.
We'll see next week.
We'll see you
August.
Next week. Right.
We'll see you August. See you. The dog days of August.
See you next week.
Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week. Same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City, 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.